Thank you, worship team. Woo! Yes. Well, we've been in a series for many weeks that I've just simply called Remember. And let me just say this. We'll be finishing off this series next week, and Dr. Coach Greg Mays will be sharing with you next week as he teaches us about remembering God and who He is and how He remembers us. So be here, lean in, and he's such a great articulator of God's Word and, you know, teacher of God's Word. So be here for that. It's really just been a series throughout these last several weeks where the question has been, as things change, what should remain the same? You know, as things change, there need to be a few things that we really can stand on. Foundational values in your life that can make you stronger, right? When it seems like things are getting out of control and we're losing grip on the things of life that are important to us, we need some values that are like a bedrock that you and I can stand on and rest on, and values that we can hold on to as we continue to step into the future that God has called us to, things that we need to remember. And so this morning's message is, again, a very simple message, but I think one that needs to be, I need to remind us of, and that we need to remember, and it's to remember to make an impact. That as we step into our future, as you step into the future of next week, of schools starting back, of trying to get back to some normalcy, as we step into our future, we are to understand and to remember that we are to make an impact for good and for God. I think that is really what the Bible is all about. I think it's the end result, the culmination of the Great Commission, right? Therefore, to go and make disciples of all nations. I think it's what the final work of Jesus was all about. I think it embodies the first words that come out of Genesis 1, out of God's mouth in Genesis 1. I think it's what the Bible is all about, and that is why we are here on this earth. I think it's why you breathe air. It's why you have what you have, the gifts that you have, the shape that God has created you to have. It's all because and so that you can make an impact on someone else's life. And I think that's why the Rock Church exists. We don't exist so that you can just simply, you know, have a place to go on Sunday. We exist so that you can have a place to go on Sunday or to tune into on Sunday and be blessed and be equipped so that you can use what God is doing and has done in your life to impact others for Jesus Christ. Right? And so today I want to remind you of that value, because if I'm sure of anything, I'm sure this. You are on this earth for one reason, and that's to impact someone else for Jesus. Here's my definition for the word impact. It's the power to be a compelling, colliding force that affects how someone develops, acts, or thinks. And so we need to understand and remember that you can make a good impact or you can have a bad impact on people's life. You're always going to have an impact, good or bad, on someone else. You are affecting how someone begins to develop or acts or thinks or begins to live their life. And I think this is really, really at the heart of the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew 5, he says this, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And what that really means is that God always intended for the church to make an impact on our culture. He's given us this power, as we talked about last week, to be in a loving, to be a loving and a compelling way to collide with our culture and to bring change. We are to impact it in a way that it's never the same again. We're called to impact Lakeland and wherever you call home, wherever you go, so that it will never be the same again because of your presence and because of your impact. Jesus is challenging us to make an impact. Jeremiah 15:19 says this. This is how the Lord responds. He's talking to the people of Israel as they return to him. He says, "If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you." And I think most of the time, we are being influenced rather than influencing them, right? Dressing like the world, talking like the world, believing like them, instead of being different because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, instead of impacting and influencing them for good and for God. It's our job to make an impact, to let people know that He is our master. It's why we get up every day and read our Bible and pray so that we are ready to step into our world and make an impact. So how do we do that? How do we remember that God has called us to make an impact? And I just want to share with you three things that you and I must do in order to make an impact for Jesus Christ in this world, in the culture in which we live in today. And the first one is this. We just have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge your impact, right? It all begins with us saying, "I have the opportunity to make an impact." You know, the truth is everybody has an impact. You are far more impactful than you realize. I think sometimes we just don't think about it. You're not usually aware of the impact that you're having. You might ask, "Well, Yamani, who can I have an impact on?" Are you ready? Everybody. Everybody you come into contact with, you can have an impact on. You have an impact on your family, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, school, work, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, kids, parents, everybody. You impact people all around you all the time. Anybody you come in contact with on a daily basis throughout your day, you have the potential to make an impact on. We understand this. I mean, you can make or break a store clerk's day, right? Just the way you relate to them. You agree with that? But how you treat that clerk, you can make or break their day. You can impact salespeople. You can impact your lawn, care people, the mail carriers, the barbers, the bankers, the people in stores. Everybody you come in contact with, you have the potential and the power to be a compelling force that affects how someone develops, acts, or thinks. And so the issue is not, are you an impact? The issue is, what kind of impact are you? You're an impact for good or for bad, for right or for wrong. For Christ or not for Christ? What impact are you having? I love the story in Acts chapter 16. Maybe you remember it. Paul and Silas, they get arrested. They get thrown in jail, put in stockades, and they have a jailer that's put in charge of them, and they're sitting there in that coldness, and after being beaten and flogged, and they just start worshiping God, right? They just start singing songs of worship, just praising His name. And all of a sudden there's this earthquake, and the doors of the jail sling open, and the jailer gets so scared, and he starts panicking. He runs in, ready to kill himself because he knows that all the prisoners are going to be gone, especially those that he was put over, and he runs in there about to kill himself with a sword, and they said, no, stop, we're all here. I don't know if y'all heard that online. We had a little, Siri wanting to get into the message today, right? Hey, we can make an impact on her. Don't you think you can? The jailer says, he then brought them out of the jail. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Anyone you come in contact with, it's your calling, it's your destiny. You are to make an impact for Christ. For instance, just look at this. When a young person gets saved, they have a 30% chance of their parents coming to Christ. And we've seen that happen a lot over the life of our ministry. Students, children, bringing parents into a personal forever relationship with God. But it's just a 30% chance. If mom gets saved, she has a 40% chance of the whole family coming to Christ. But if the dad gets saved, it's over 80% chance that the whole family will come to Jesus. It's the power of impact. We must recognize the fact, we must acknowledge the fact that we have an impact. Galatians 6:4 says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Which leads us to the second point, and it's this. We have to use our impact. I've got to exercise. I've got to realize that my ability to make an impact is kind of like a muscle, right? You either use it or you lose it. So I've got to exercise it. I've got to use the impact that God has given me. And I just want to give you five ways that you can intentionally impact someone for Christ. And I'm going to start with the most basic level and then get move to the hardest level. But really, you need every one of these. And the first one is this. The first one is just be kind. Be kind. I don't know about you. I started to wear my be kind shirt. Where's Dan? I started to wear my be kind and just kind of be kind, right? How many of you want to, let's just start a kindness movement. How about that? We just start a kindness movement, right? How many of you saw the movie Wonder? A few, maybe read the book Wonder. It's about this little boy named Augie Pullman. He was born with facial differences, right? And it was hard for him to be in mainstream school until he got into fifth grade. And so he steps into fifth grade, and Augie becomes the most unlikely of heroes there in that setting. He's a boy who desperately wants to blend in, but he is destined. He's destined to stand out. And I just love the movie. Do we have that picture? Or did it not? Yeah, little Augie. And I just love the quotes of kindness that were throughout that movie. One of them, it's not on there. One thing Augie says, everybody deserves a standing ovation at least once. It's like, yes, right? But here's some quotes he said about kindness. He said, when given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. We carry with us as human beings not just the capacity to be kind, but the very choice of kindness. And then the very last line of the movie, he says to the audience that's in front of him, he says, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And I just love that. It's so true. Everyone is fighting some kind of battle. And we might not know what it is, but it kind of makes you look at everybody with a bit more compassion when you begin to understand that. Just be kind. Of course, I loved, my favorite show growing up was Mr. Rogers. Anybody? Shows how old we are, Mr. Rogers. And when I got to see the movie with Tom Hanks, how many saw that? You don't even know who Mr. Rogers was till Tom Hanks played, right? But it brought all those emotions back about me coming home every afternoon and sitting down and watching Mr. Rogers. Yeah, I just loved him because he was so kind, right? And I'd be watching it, and every once in a while, my mom would kind of sneak into the room with me and sit down beside me and watch Mr. Rogers with me. And she loved his sign, It's You I Like. You remember his song, It's You I Like. You remember the song? It says, It's You I Like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your toys that are just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you, yourself, it's you. It's you I like. And my mom loved that song, because at the end he would say, I like you. I like you. And my mom would turn to me and say, Mommy, I like you. And I would turn back to her and I'd say, I like you, Mama, right? Kindness. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Later on down in that chapter, it says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. So I want to encourage all of us to do that. To smile, to be kind. To begin to think, how can I bring value to you, by listening to you. Just be kind. Okay, that's the easiest level. You probably didn't learn much from that. All right. The second one is be caring. Be caring. I care about you. What do I need? What do you need? How can I help you? How can I bring value to you? You know, how can I be better at listening and paying attention to you? Kim and I have a friend. His name's Ron Gunner. He used to lead all the mission trips for One More Child, and so we were with him on mission in Guatemala several years ago. And on the last day of our trip, we got to go to the volcano there in the Guatemala area there where we were staying, and it was an active volcano, and so it was kind of exciting. We get all the way up there, and it's a long hike, and we get there, and then it's all the way up this volcano mountain, this rock, volcano rock, and it was, it was kind of dangerous and treacherous, and also the lava was running underneath us, and you could see it sometimes when the earth would crack a little bit, you could see it running, and so it was very hot to the feet a little bit, and some people were, even their tennis shoes were melting, as we walked across it, but we were all in. Yeah, we're going up to the top. And Kim, if you know her, she really has a fear of heights and those kind of things, and so I'm trying to help her, but it's really hard, and she's going, I'm not doing it, I'm going, yeah, we got to go up there, so you can really see the lava, there's awesome, and I couldn't, and I look up, and Ron Gunner, who's already at the top, sees her struggling, and he walks all the way back down, comes up beside us, and he goes, Monty, I'll help her. And he just grabbed her hand or her arm and put his arm up on her back, and he just began to encourage her. And step by step by step, all the way up, encourage her. You can do this. I was the same way. Just encourage her, caring for her, and, step by step. And as I watch them coming up, I go, wow, what a picture of someone who cares for others. 2 Corinthians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Listen, God has comforted you, and it's not just for your sake. He comforts us so that we can comfort other people. There's something about caring, right? Letting other people know that we care about what they're going through. That what happens is that begins to open doors of opportunity to make an impact into their lives. I care about people that care about me. I care about what they think, what their ideas are. The fact that they care about me makes me want to listen to them. And it opens the door for them to impact my life. And that's what caring is all about. And if you're like me, there's a lot of people you are concerned about, but you've never let them know. You see, caring is a little bit more. It's actually doing something about it. Caring for them by writing a note or having a word for them or going by and seeing them, letting them know, I care about you. I care about what you're going through. It's a powerful way to use the impact that God has given us. The next one is be serving. Not only be kind, not only be caring, but also be serving. Now, this gets a little bit more difficult. I mean, it's pretty easy sometimes to be kind, to care. But you start serving people, and it's a little bit more effort, right? The more effort you put into this, the more impact you begin to develop. In God's economy, the greater you serve someone, the greater impact you have in their life. The more you serve others, the more impact you'll have. And that's what Jesus said. If you want to be great, learn to be a servant of all. If you serve a few people, you're going to have very little impact. If you serve no one, you're going to have no impact in their life. If you serve a lot of people, you're going to have great impact in their life. It's all dependent upon how many people you begin to serve and how well you serve them. So we have to decide in life whether we want to impress people or do we really want to impact them. Those are the options. Do I want to impress people or do I really want to impact them for Jesus? I think most of us choose the first one because it's way easier. And we can be more distant, right? You can impress people from a distance. But you can only make an impact on them if you get up close. If you begin to let your life collide with their life. When you get up close, it's kind of risky because they can see you, right? They see all of your warts and your faults. And I think that's why sometimes we don't like to get close to people, because then they'll see my faults, money, or they'll see my frailties. Wow. I work on that. They'll see our weaknesses. God says, I don't care about having you impress people. What I want you to do is impact them. And to do that, you got to get up close. And you got to serve them. Not wanting anything in return, not wanting recognition, but just serving them out of your love for them. 1 Corinthians 9:22, I love it in the Message paraphrase. It says this: the defeated, the demoralized, whoever, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I became just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. That's the impact that God is calling us to. Which leads to the next intentional thing that we can do, and that's be ready to say so. When those opportunities come, be ready to say so, to speak up, to say, I'm not going to be silent anymore when it comes to my faith. I'm going to speak up. I've shared this with you before, I think, but our students this summer, their summer theme was say so. And it came from the verse in Psalms 107:2 that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. And so all summer long, they've been learning and practicing how to tell their story, how to share the good news of how Jesus has changed their life, how to really become young people that say so when they get the opportunity. And let me tell you, it takes courage to be that kind of impact. To be willing to share your faith when the opportunity comes. As you're being kind and as you're caring for somebody and serving someone, and when that opportunity comes that you step in and you say so, you say what has changed your life, you begin to tell them the good news of Jesus. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to get to a place where you're going to decide that you're no longer going to be silent. You're no longer just going to be a silent observer when something is wrong in your culture or in your space. But instead, you're going to speak up and you're going to say something about it. You're going to say, this is wrong. And I'm going to do something about it. Again, like I said last week, not just to make a point, not just to give my opinion, but to make a difference for Jesus. To collide with our culture in a way, with the truth of God's Word, in a way that is empowered and driven by His love. By His love. And so here's my question. What do you need to speak up about? Your faith, right? Or maybe you know a friend that's headed down the wrong road and you've said nothing. You say, well, Monty, it's really not any of my business. Yes, it is. If you care, you'll share. Maybe you see something wrong at work, right? You say, I'm not going to get involved. Why? It's where God has placed you to begin to share His good news, His love, His peace. What about the person who lives next door to you that you know is headed for an eternity without God? So we have to care enough to begin to share. Do you have the courage to be a person of impact? Edmund Burke once said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I would say, even beyond that, the only thing necessary for our culture to go the way of the world is for Christians to say nothing. We say, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to, put them off. Listen, sometimes God puts you right in the middle of a relationship with someone so that you can say so. You can tell them the good news. Sometimes He puts you right in the middle of a problem at work or at home or at school, wherever you are, just so you'll speak up about it. So God will have a voice in that place. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's what happened to Esther. I don't know if you remember that story in the book of Esther in the Old Testament. Esther was a young Jewish woman. Her nation had been taken captive, and the king at that time was Xerxes, and he held a beauty contest to choose his queen. I mean, how worldly can we get? And out of all the women in the land, he chose this Jewish woman named Esther. And so she became the queen, and later on a rule was decreed that all the Jews in the country would be killed. And Esther's friend came to her. You know, you can read this in the story in the book of Esther. Esther's friends came to her and said, Esther, do you not realize that God has put you in this position of impact for such a time as this? And she could have lost her head in challenging the king's rule, but she went ahead in. She made her appeal. She said, I'm Jewish. My friends, my family are all Jewish. You can't do this, king. And she put her own life on the line and gambled her impact. And the king gave in, and all the Jewish nation was saved because of one woman who had the courage to speak up. Listen, the world needs to hear the words of believers. We need to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. We need to speak for the unborn, for the underprivileged, for the poor, for the youth of our generation. Speak up and begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We can't be silent. We must speak up. Say so. My goal for every one of us is this next level, and it's be a sacrifice. To sacrifice for others. By our sacrifice, we can make an impact, right? Without a doubt, the most influential, impactful person in human history was Jesus Christ. He was because he made the greatest sacrifice in human history. He gave his own life to impact all of human history. John 15, 12 through 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You see, great sacrifice equals great impact. I'd say the second greatest and most impactful person in human history would probably be the Apostle Paul, because he's the one who carried the message of God's sacrifice through Jesus' love to the entire world of that day. One man did that. And what gave him the ability to do that? What gave him the ability to change his culture, to change history? What gave him the ability to have that kind of impact? Look at Philippians 2:17. We kind of get a glimpse into his heart. Paul says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. It was a joyful sacrifice because he saw the impact that it was making. He had an impact that changed everything. And if you and I want to make a great impact, then you and I have to make great sacrifices. And here's the tough part for us. It means if I'm going to have a great impact, if you're going to have a great impact, you can't just live your comfortable life. There are going to be some sacrifices involved. But the sacrifices are worth it because it changes the world. A.W. Milne was a missionary, and he was in this group of missionaries that were known as one-way missionaries. And these one-way missionaries went to countries knowing that they would likely never return home. So Milne went to a tribe of headhunters in New Hebrides where all former missionaries had been killed. However, he felt that he had to go, right? He had to obey God's call on his life. And he lived among the tribe for 35 years, and never returned home. And when the tribe buried him, they wrote the following on his epitaph on his tombstone. Listen to this. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Wow. What a way to live with this eternal perspective in mind. What a way to impact those around you. And I know when I talk about sacrifice, I think most of us think, Monty, does that mean I have to give my life? And maybe that's what God will call you to do. But for most of us, those sacrifices that He's calling us to are going to be a part of our everyday life. You see, it's the small sacrifices of being unselfish every day in your everyday life. That's what will make the greatest impact. I think that's what the next verse in Hebrews 13 is talking about. It says that through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. God is pleased. You want to honor God? Don't get me wrong. God does enjoy your praise and the lifting of your hands and your hearts to worship His name. He loves that. He enjoys that. But His favorite kind of worship is when you and I figure out a way to do good for others to a place that it costs you something. God says, I get a kick out of that. I am pleased with that. That's your best worship. You love me the most when you do that, when you sacrifice for others. And let me just say, many of you do that. Many of you do that. You live your life in that way. And I just want to say thanks for all that you do. The way you sacrifice your time, your money, your presence in order to allow God to speak into the lives of others. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the way that you do that in the lives of our children and of our students. Thank you for the way you sacrificially give, your sacrificial generosity, with your time and, your money and your abilities, the way that you just are willing to sacrifice. God is pleased with that. And He will impact your world around you as you live out your faith in that way. God wants you to impact your world. I want you to become an impactful person. So what does it take? What does it take? First, you have to acknowledge your impact, that you have it, that God has given you the power to impact your world, to collide with your culture, with your world, with the love of Jesus Christ. So then you got to become more intentional, right? You get up every morning and you say, God, I want you to use me today to impact every person I come in contact with for good and for you, God. You get intentional by being kind and caring and serving and sacrificing. And then finally, number three, you got to grow your impact. Jesus wants us to be the light for this community. And so I believe it's time for us to do more. It's time for us, for you to grow your impact. That means to do your best to develop it, right? To cultivate it, to expand your impact. You say, well, money, isn't that kind of egotistical? No. You should want to grow your impact because you're doing it not for your benefit. You're doing it for Jesus' sake. And that's why He leaves you here on this earth. Otherwise, once you were saved, He would just take you immediately to heaven, right? But you're here to make an impact. Ephesians 5, 8 through 16 says this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And Paul says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It's our time to do more. To do more in our city, to do more in our sphere of impact. It's important for us to stay focused on the mission to lead others into a growing relationship with the Rock, Jesus Christ. And I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 10:13 says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us a field that reaches even to you. That's our challenge. God's call on our lives. We've been given a field of impact. Our family, our friends, our workplace, our school, Lakeland, Mulberry, Bartow, Polk County. It's your circle, your field of impact. Every one of us has this field of impact. And my prayer is that as your faith grows, that your field of impact will grow, that it will increase so that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ even beyond us. So listen, He's given us the power to be a compelling, colliding force that affects and ripples across our field of impact, the culture in which we live in today, with His love, with His mercy, with His grace, with His forgiveness. And as we impact and ripple through our culture, it brings change for God and for good. That's what it's all about. So listen, it's time to acknowledge that you have an impact, right? That God has given you an impact, and begin to use it by being kind and caring and serving and sacrificing and speaking up. It's time to grow the opportunity God is giving us. Are you ready? Are we ready to do that? To wake up every day ready to make an impact for Him? Let's do that. That's His call on our lives. Let's remember to make an impact. Pray with me, please. I just want to ask you to pray this prayer in your heart. Just pray, Father, I realize that everything I have is a gift from You. And God, I haven't really thought of myself as a very impactful person, but God, right now I can begin to see that You want me to impact others for good and for You, oh God. So just pray right now, God, help me to be more intentional. God, give me the power of Your Holy Spirit living in me to be a compelling, colliding force that changes my culture for You. So God, help me to be kind, caring. Help me to be serving others, to speak up, and even to sacrifice, God, when necessary, whatever that might be. And God, help me to use and grow the impact You have given me so that I can make some kind of difference in this world. Father, begin with me. Thank You for sacrificing Your life for me, Jesus. Thank You for filling me with Your Holy Spirit, O God, and allowing that to empower me to make and be an impact in others around me, Father, especially my family, especially the field of impact that You have given me, God. God, help me to be ready and willing to make an impact for You, for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.